Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Mathilde from Guillaume Peintureau. How are you doing today, Mathilde?
Thank you. Everything's fine. Thank you.
So, can you tell us who you are and what is your role at Guillaume Peintureau?
Yes. So, I'm Mathilde Tourin and I work with my sister Elise. And we just took over the Guillaume Peintureau domain about 2 years ago. So, the domain of Guillaume Peintureau is based in Segonzac since 1610. So, it's a family that is historically in the region. And so, we have just taken over this domain. I am in charge of the commercial part and my sister is in charge of the production part. Since we are an independent winery, that is to say that we carry out each step from the wine to the bottle ourselves. So for all cognacs that we sell, we do everything from A to Z. That means that we control everything from the beginning to the end process. We just launched a packaging of our cognac and we wanted to really keep this authentic side while bringing our freshness also to the cognacs. With the famous two sisters distillers, the famous illustration that you also see on the bottle design with us, the two sisters and the alambic behind. And then at the end of the year, we also just launched some Brut de Feu millésime from a single barrel. So the idea is once again to mark our uniqueness a little more, both as sisters, but also through our product in the world of cognac.
So I'll have lots of questions about the house, of course, about you, about your production. But first of all, can you tell us what cognac we are tasting today?
Yes. So today we're going to taste the Ordage. It's a cognac that is exclusively from the Grand Champagne, from the town of Segonzac, and is a cognac that has been distilled in an alambic, which dates from 1914. And the Guillaume Peintureau family has always distilled with lees, on the lees, which we continue to do today, since it brings roundness and flexibility, and that's what we're looking for in our cognacs.
So I want to go back to this topic where you and your sister took up the domain. So what was the experience like of all of a sudden taking over and running a cognac house?
Yes, of course. So it's true that in the region, it's something that is very unique in the sense that we're two sisters. The domain originally was not in the family. We took over it from the Guillaume Peintureau family. The idea was also to be able to continue to bring the story to life, since it's still a historical story. By bringing our touch to it, we still want to keep this historical side by products, to keep the products that are authentic. And in a way of modernizing them in our own way, that was quite a big challenge. The idea is not to break the codes either, but it's still refreshing the design of the bottles, but also keeping the quality of the eau de vie consistent.
Yes, yes, of course. And I heard in your family name, Torrent. So is there a link with the cognac house Claude Torrent?
Yes, absolutely. There's a link because I'm the daughter of Claude Tourin from the cognac house Claude Tourin, and we are originally a family of viticulturists. I'm the third generation since my grandfather is André Tourin, who was the initiative of Claude Tourin, the brand. And then my father continued. And today I work to continue with the Claude Tourin brand too, but the idea was that Guillaume Peintureau brand was also something to mark our little, with my sister and me, our differences. And not necessarily do like everyone else, I want to say. There's indeed continue in the family to propose the heritage of historical cognacs. But with Guillaume Peintureau, it also shows that we, even if we're young and we're two women, that we can also have our little baby. And to continue to value the know-how of the family, of the Segonzac, of the Grand Champagne, because the importance of families of independent wine growers, they're less and less available anyway in this region. So the idea is to make the story last and to make it continue.
Okay, great. So when you arrived at the domain, took over the domain, what kind of changes did you make in terms of the wine production, the design, the composition of the range? So yeah, what changes did you make?
So regarding the changes we did within the Guillaume Peinturo brand, we didn't want to rush anything. We didn't want to revolutionize anything overnight. The idea was really to continue, first of all, the tradition of the family, whether it's in the mode of culture, of manufacturing, the creation of the cognac, since there's still a unique savoir-faire in the Guillaume Peinturo family. And when we took back, for example, the cognac stacks behind them, well, these are very qualitative objects. So the idea is to make this last. And then it's up to us also to give our touch, notably by creating coup de feu, which did not necessarily exist before, also in regards of them being vintages. So through creation, we would say we created a new product, a new approach, new ways of actually tasting and consuming. And that too may be linked to the fact that we are a new generation and that we also want to discover cognac in a little different way than simply through the traditional assemblies or blends that exist. We want to show to all generations that there's a blend that is important in the region, there's real culture, but that we can also do something else. So we maintain some old aspects, but we blend them together with new aspects.
So speaking of this label redesign, can you explain a little bit about the process, what it's like to work with designers, graphic designers, and just the overall process?
Yes. So designing takes a long time. It took us about a year and a half to redesign the label, the packaging, the bottle, since the bottle format also changed. So for that, it was a very long reflection. We wanted to take our time, not to overdo everything at the beginning. So when we took over the Guillaume Peinturo brand, we stuck by the design for 1.5 years. We kept the old bottles and the old design. That allowed us in the meantime to really improve our thinking, to not want to go in all directions. And the idea was to still make our difference because there were very few women in the world of cognac make bottles. And we really wanted to take our time to keep this authentic side without being to break the code and to lose track. So for this, we worked with graphic artists and we told her our story, where we come from, what we want and what direction we want to go. And the idea was for her to transmit that, to transcribe it on the bottle and on the label. And so we went for the illustration while keeping, of course, the name of Guillaume Peinturo family, since for us it was important to pay homage to this family, as they did a very great job and we wanted to still have the name on the bottle.
And in terms of distillation, I suppose that this is something you and your sister are going to be doing or are doing every year. Are you assisted by anybody who guides you and gives you advice to start out with distillation?
Yes, we have a big chance or big luck that we are born in a family of viticulturists. That is actually a big tradition within the family. And I remember since I was a little girl, I lived next to the distillery and I've always seen alambics my entire life. So it's a little bit like my Madeleine de Proust. And it's actually mainly my sister who takes care of the distillation process. It's been now 3 years that she distills. Of course, my father has taught her, so he has passed on his knowledge to my sister and his father passed it on to him. So it's from generation to generation, which is very great thing. And so my sister, in fact, learned thanks to my father, who still accompanies her today, because due to her experience, she has a lot to continue to learn from day to day. Nothing you can learn in 1 year, but it's her mainly who managed all of this part. And within the next years to follow, she's going to be more independent doing that.
And you mentioned that this is a very family-oriented business, with close ties between Claude Durand and Guillaume Peinturo. I just want to know, are there ever any moments of friction or tension in terms of how you run things and the advice that your parents and family members give you?
Yes, we are next to each other, but for us, it's really important to have the same direction and the same values. First, that's a key element. Then, in the way of doing things, sometimes we can indeed have different opinions. But the main thing is that we have the goal at the end that brings us together. So yes, we both of the brands want to go in the same direction. That's true, and that's also really important for us, for the family. But that's mainly because we both want to go ahead and have this desire to go forward and to go in the same direction. So I think we feed each other from the experience of my parents, and at the same time, they trust us. That is very important. On the side, well, we can also contribute because we actually have a new perspective of the world. And so it's this mutual trust that creates a really good collaboration between the two of us. We push each other.
You mentioned earlier that 19 hectares of vines that you own are in Segonzac. Do you keep 100% of those 19 hectares, or is there a small portion that's sold off to the big houses?
We do sell half and we keep the other half for our own house. The idea for us is to develop the Gyal Pantyokul cognac from the bottle, and that means a lot to us. The idea is to make Gyal Pantyokul more and more known, whether it's in France or around the world, because for us it's really important that we show the heritage of the family and how diverse cognac can be.
We know that Segonzac is the heart of the cognac region. It's not actually cognac, it's Segonzac. Can you talk a little bit about the terroir of Segonzac and why it's conducive to making really, really spectacular eau de vie?
Yes, so we are in Segonzac. All our wines are less than 500 meters around the house. That's already a very nice advantage because it allows us to control, for example, during the harvest, the ripeness of the grapes, to go there really at the most appropriate times to check and control how the wines and the grapes are going. And regarding the soil, we are here on majority of limestone. This soil gives the eau de vie a very beautiful aromatic profile, very beautiful aromatic intensity, and a potential for very good potential for aging, which is incredible. So we will have eau de vie that age, and the more they age, that will give them, there will be more and more complex regarding the aromas over time. That's something that's not necessarily possible for other crus. This is really the strength of this terroir, and the idea is to have a terroir of such quality that it's to us as men or women to value it. Throughout our work with the land, our distillation, our know-how, and our way of doing things.
Coming back to the Gyal Pantyokul range, can you explain what cognacs make up the range today?
Today, the Gyal Pantyokul range starts with a VS, a very special. Then we have a VSOP, and then we only have cognacs that are over 10 years old. Since we have two XO, including a Vieille Réserve, the XO Ordal that we will taste later, and an even older cognac called Renaissance. And this is our range, let's say a classic range, we have throughout the entire year. And then we have a collection cognacs, the Brut de Fût from Single Barrel Represent. And we just released end of this year the 1996 and the 2008, which are both vintages that we brought out this year.
And what was the idea behind some of these Brut de Fût cask strength releases? It's something that's quite rare in the region, but we do see a little trend in this direction today.
Indeed, we see more and more Brut de Fût, but not as many vintage Brut de Fût. So the idea behind that is to show the singularity of one vintage, of one specific year. And then at the same time, since these are Brut de Fût from exclusively Grand Champagne, it is to show all the intensity and the aromatic palette for this cru. They are not reduced, and so you have a really aromatic bouquet.
So let's go back to the Ordage, the cognac we're tasting today. What can you tell us about this particular cognac?
The idea of this cognac, XO Ordage, is a cognac that will complete the range. This range that will be all in lightness, and we really look for the delicacy, the lightness, the sweetness. And with this one, it will stand out from the range because we will have a slightly more spicy side, about all very beautiful aromatic intensity. So that's what's going to come out with this famous XO Ordage. And after the idea with all our cognacs, it's really to have fun tasting it. It's all about spending a pleasant moment, and that's why we have cognacs that are very accessible, but at the same time, very intense and lengthy. We're always looking for length in our cognacs.
In terms of age, how many years are we looking at for this cognac?
So seeing that it's the appellation of XO, a minimum of 10 years, and in this specific blend, we are around 20 years.
And the cellar conditions in the Chai, are we talking humid, dry? somewhere in between the two?
For our seller, we are more on the wet seller. And why is this? The wet seller will allow us to bring flexibility and roundness to our cognacs. And it's really something that's not necessarily going to be possible with a dry seller. And that's especially what we're looking for. Therefore, the wet seller.
And you mentioned earlier that distillation always takes place with the lees, correct?
Yes, we're distilling on the lees.
Are you also still using that really small C6 hectoliter still, which dates back to 1914?
Correct. And we now also have a 25 hectoliter one in which we also distill.
If we talk a little bit about the barrels, I mean, not necessarily for the ordage, but just in general at the house, what type of barrels are you using and how much time is the cognac actually spending in new oak?
Well, we mostly use old wines, so we're going to put them in fût neuf, in new barrels, for the first time for a maximum of 6 months in general. The idea is, first of all, to have the structure from the wood, but we don't want the fût neuf, the new barrel, to take over. Therefore, we limit it to 6 months. Because it is eau de vie from the Grand Champagne, we want the eau de vie to really speak for itself. We don't want the barrel to take over the aromatic intensity and to overpower it. We want the eau de vie to be that one that reveals itself to the nose, to the mouth, and to speak for itself during the finish. So after those 6 months, we're going to put them in few barrels that already contain cognac. And the older the cognac is, the more we're going to put it in all barrels. So we have a whole range of different barrels, and we can see the difference very quickly on very old cognacs.
Okay, I see. So it starts a few months in the new oak barrels, then it goes to really old barrels. And then it's just the micro-oxygenation that's taking place.
Yes.
So now, if we want to talk about a tasting note for this cognac, how would you describe the nose, the palate, the texture, the sensation, anything about this particular cognac?
So for this Guillaume Pantureau XO Ordage, we have on the nose, we're going to have a very good note, spicy notes, slightly toasted, and above all, it's going to be very delicate and fine. So having a very nice finesse about it. The second note, we're going to start to find a little bit of citrus notes, and it's exactly what we're going to find in the mouth. On the palate, the first gorge, we're going to have very nice aromatic intensity, a cognac, but we feel that it's going to be very complex. After that, there's a spicy side, even slightly smoked that we can find, with notes of cashew, which will gradually develop. And then at the end of the mouth, or in the finish, we can have notes of a little bit of exotic fruit, such as citrus. And the best part is that it lasts in the mouth. It's a very pleasant finish, and it's something that all of you are going looking forward to.
Would you say it's a typical cognac from the Grand Champagne, and especially a typical cognac of Segonzac?
I don't think it's necessarily a typical cognac from the Grand Champagne region. It really depends on what we mean by typical. I think each cognac has its own personality, and one is different to the other. The spicy, smoky side, and then especially with its notes of a little bit of exotic fruit, like citrus that I mentioned before, it's really its own cognac. And in fact, for Grand Champagne region, there are also cognacs that are more on the woody side, so really difficult to say precisely that it's a typical Grand Champagne cognac.
Very good. So for someone who wants to explore the Guillaume Pantureau house for the first time, and he or she wants to select two cognacs to start this exploration, what would you recommend for this person? So a first cognac and then a second cognac.
For something refreshing, I would start with the VSOP, because the VSOP is a cognac that is very accessible. It is going to be on the fruity notes. It's a cognac that is going to be intense, but it's not going to be too much, and be very soft, round in the mouth, and it's very pleasant for the 4 years that it actually has. I would say it's a good entry cognac for people that are new to the world of cognac, because it's not overpowering, and it allows them to like cognac.
Great. And for the second cognac?
And for the second recommendation, I would say the Renaissance, which is one of our oldest cognacs. It's interesting to discover because it's really the quintessence of Grand Champagne. Someone who wants to taste a Grand Champagne cognac is really going to like this cognac. We have Eau de Vie that can age from very long time. The Renaissance is one of them. And behind that, you have a mouthful of complexity that you wouldn't necessarily be able to find in other crus. So this one is an extension of the Eau d'Age, more complex, with more notes of Francieux, and really worth discovering.
Are there any projects you have planned for the future, for the upcoming year? Any little nuggets of information that you can share with us for 2024?
Yes, we always have a lot of projects in mind, so we'll certainly have another coup de feu. And then I don't say much more, but we actually have a previous stock of cognac, some eau de vie that we don't have presented yet. So the idea is when we discover them, we are going to reveal them at one point. Probably going to make a blend from our oldest cognac. And of course, gonna release a new edition next year. So I'm not gonna tell you yet all the details of the composition, but stay tuned for next year.
Okay, great. So last question. The holidays are approaching, Christmas, New Year's are coming up. A lot of people are gonna be tasting cognac over this holiday season. For you, your own preference, do you like to taste cognac with anything? Do you have any pairing that you like? Or do you prefer it to just be on its own at the end of a meal, for example?
So for this hors d'oeuvre, it's really good by itself. Don't necessarily have to be has to be paired with anything, but it can also be nice at the end of the meal. If you do want to pair it, for me, what always works is with a little square of chocolate. We have the citrus note that really works well with chocolate. It harmonizes wonderfully with the chocolate. And last recommendation, I'm not a specialist in this field, but I heard from a lot of cigar lovers that they do love to pair it with their cigar.
Excellent. Okay, Mathilde, well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your answers to my questions. I think this is a really wonderful hors d'oeuvre cognac. It shows all the elegance, all the finesse that we so often see in the Grand Champagne. And I know it shows the know-how of you and your sister and your family who's been involved in production. So again, thank you very much. I wish you very happy holidays, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Tyler.
Au revoir.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.